salt or whatever it is. If I have to pray for the village, he'll maybe give me a taste bud of mutete and pap. Then I know that I must pray for the village. As we're worshiping now, I just sense in my heart, it's a bit of an unhealthy meal, but porsi chips and Russian, okay. That's what I sense in my heart. But also what I want to share is, I really want to testify to the fact, and I want to speak this morning to a heart that has really been trying to do things through its own strength, by its own ways of doing things. And Zechariah chapter 4, from 6 to 7 says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For this seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro and throughout the whole earth.'" And I really just sense so strongly in my heart that God wants to speak to a heart this morning that is willing to give up. God wants to speak to a heart that is willing to do things by its own strength. And God is saying that not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. And once God has started something, do not despise the small beginnings. Do not despise that God, the promise that God has spoken over your life. And I just want to testify this because it's also speaking to my heart.
Morning, church. I love you, Pastor. I was saying I must only have three minutes. You know, one of the sons, my daughter, what is coming from here, he knows the lady, Esther, is married with a Kavango also, and he used to come sometimes to the church. And then one of the sons was working for him on the business. And then he went to sleep to the hospital at Katatura Hospital, ICU. And he called me on Saturday, "Mama, come and pray for me." And I say, I couldn't make it on Saturday because it's late now. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Don't let this Sunday pass and you didn't go to that church." And I phoned for Esther and I say, "Let me go. Where are we going to meet?" "Yes, at Katatura's gate," and where we went. And then when we go there and I say, "Let we pray, let we be ready and pray and pray." And then when we come in there, I just starting to pray. And the doctors was amazing. They were welcome me. And they were giving the injection and the tablets for the people. And they were asking me, "Which church you are going?" I say to Pastor Coral Church, Sofa Church at Seder Off. And they say, "Oh, I'm telling you." And then I pray. I say to the son, "Are you repent?" Because I see the people in here in ICU in Katatura, all they are sick. And I say, "You repent." He says, "Yes, Mama, repent." But I say, "The Holy Spirit says I must lead you on the repenting." And I open the scripture and I give for Esther. I say, "Lead him so long. And then me, I can be busy praying on others." And I was praying. I see each and everybody is interested of me, and the doctors and nurses, they were standing. And I pray. And then when we finish to pray, and then I go back to him again, and then he sit up. And they say, "Oh, Mama, I'm feeling so good. I don't know how did I feel. I feel so good." And another man, he was paining. When I start, just pray. And then he say, and he opened the eyes. He look at me. And okay, and then we go. And Esther phoned for me on Monday. She says, "No," he says, "he's feeling so good, but it's only coughing. What is worrying for him now?" And then on Tuesday night, he passed away. You know, sometimes we must listen what the Holy Spirit say to us. if we didn't listen, the Holy Spirit, maybe God will give me now a problem and say, I was sending you, my son was calling you, and then you didn't go. And now that soul has been saved because I've been listening to the Holy Spirit. Yes, thank you so much. I thank you for my pastor to give me this opportunity.
Amen. Good to have all of you here in church. It's wonderful that you can be here. I just want to get my pulpit. But yeah, nevertheless, there's a lot of things happening. If, as you saw in the announcements, the next few weeks, there's quite a lot of things happening. We're receiving three mission teams, one from Worcester, one from Paul, one from Pretoria, like always. Also a team from Stellenbosch that will be here. We've got a visiting pastor here next week. And just remember, I don't get visiting pastors from South Africa just to support in Namibia. It's really for you guys to be blessed. Someone from the family, Pastor Heinrich Titus, that will be ministering next week. So please come and bring someone along. And just as Auntie Doris has just shared now, it's so important, you know, that we don't always postpone things. Many times we think maybe next time or maybe the other day or so, I will bring someone to church or minister to someone. And it's so important that we are obey at that stage when we feel the Lord is speaking to us. So we also have the regional conference that will be held here in Seydorf. That will be the 20th and the 21st of July. And I'm really looking forward to that. It will be the Saturday and the Sunday. So please make some effort and some time to be there. It will be between us and Swakopmund and the Shofar churches. And I really think that will be great. I think we've got quite a lot ahead of us. And the one pastor in Stellenbosch, Pastor Hercules, he's been here before. He always says, guys, you must focus. You must really focus. So I want to tell you, it's a time to focus. It's a time that we are really get our lineups ready, everything we need to plan. There's quite a lot of things that are happening in this next month and a half. And it's there for us. It's there for you to be part of and to really be blessed. Before I go too far, I want to ask Linda to come and stand next to me. In the previous church service, the Afrikaans service, we also had one of the ladies testifying just about the Awakens Women's Conference. And I think she kind of nailed it when she said, you know, all the ladies spoke in small group. And she also said every lady just felt if it was just for them. You know, so everyone that I've heard so many beautiful testimonies and people sharing about what happened. I think there were more than 30 of our ladies in Swakopmund the previous Sunday. And I just feel things like that mustn't just go past without us celebrating that. So that's why I'm going to give Linda just the opportunity just to share a little bit and tell you guys what it's about, what happened, and what you got out of it. Thanks, Linda.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Okay. I think the greatest message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is about love. And it's about an unconditional love, a love without boundaries. It's about loving the next person as you'd love your own child, your own brother, your own sister. But how many of us can actually do that? How many of us can love the person that hurt us the most, the person that has stolen so much from us, the person that has taken away our dignity through rape or any sort of assault? And all of us have a fear, some kind of fear within us. Can be fear of getting robbed while walking to your house in the night. Can be fear of failing, disappointing somebody, fear of losing your loved ones. We have all kinds of fear. The Awaken Conference, the theme was based on fear and love. It was about loving fearlessly. And for me, those two concepts, the love and the fear, cannot live together. You cannot have both of them. It's either you have one or the other. Love cannot live without with fear, and fear cannot live with love. That's what I got from the conference. I heard testimonies of different women from different backgrounds, and one that stood out for me was the testimony of Hattie Brits. She was a woman of God, serving God, and as she was serving God, she got raped. Thieves broke into her house and they raped her. But despite all that, despite the thief assaulting her and taking away her dignity, where it seems like it, she did not let that fear stand in her way. She loved that person, the same person that hurt her. She she was able to love and forgive. There was no fear that stood in her way. And that was just really amazing for me. It really opened up my eyes. Like, it was a new revelation for me, how we can really just love without any fear, regardless of the situation. How these people that assault us or that treat us badly in any way, they cannot take us take away the most important things in our lives, and that's our soul and our spirit. They can do whatever to our bodies, they can harm us in every way, but they cannot touch the spirit and the soul, which God really protects. And it was just really amazing, and I just wish each and every person was there, because you would definitely come back a changed person. You will never be the same again. And yeah, I just like to thank God for everything, for that whole experience, and for the fact that I'm able to share it now. And one thing that me and Leanne prayed about was just how we want to conceal that, to seal that in our hearts, that revelation. We never want to lose it. It has to remain, and we want to to transfer it sort of to other people as well. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you, Linda. Yeah, that's why I just said it's so precious. You know, I can tell you, yes, there were 250 ladies and it was beautiful and apparently everyone cried and all that stuff. But you know, hearing every person's testimony, just about God, what God did in their lives over that weekend, you know, that is precious. And that's why I just feel always to give a platform to share those things. And just as the testimonies you heard before, you know, church is and should never be a one-man show. It's something where all of us come together, and it's so encouraging in building our faith, just to hear what God is doing in our brothers and sisters' lives. So this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about the law, okay? So I think most of us know what the law is about, and I really sense, I think we should go back to the law a little bit and dig into that. Do you agree with me? Should we be under the law again? You should stone me. Tanya says definitely no. That is definitely the correct thing to do. I want to start off by reading to you from Romans 7 verse 6. And it says, "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." Now, if you go and look at the law, I think it's important for us just to acknowledge this morning when we start to talk about that, many times we will refer in our own lives to something that was a bad season. Or, you know, I will say sometimes in my own life, yes, 2004 wasn't a good year for various reasons. Or people will say, no, that thing that happened or this or that. But, you know, when we look at the law that obviously God gave to the Israelites at that stage, that was something precious. You know, it was something at that stage, it was the perfectly right thing for God to do. We can't say God was confused and he didn't know what to do, so he gave them the law. He gave it in love. Remember, he chose the Israelites. He saved them, basically. He rescued them from slavery, and he brought them out of Egypt. He brought them to a place where he wanted to walk with them. So we just need to check it, because sometimes, you know, we will say, no, that person is a bit under the law, or no, that church is a bit legalistic, or, you know, various things like that. And that's not wrong to talk about it, but we mustn't just knock the law. In terms, it's something that God gave. And also Paul, if you want to read a little bit more at home and you want to do a little bit of homework, there's quite a lot you can study. Go and read Romans, go and read Galatians, and you will see Paul is writing a lot there about the law and how these things work. And remember, he was a Jew. He grew up under the law. He knew what it was about, and what you could do, what you shouldn't have done, all those type of things. He knew what he was talking about. And then also I want to read to you, and this is what Luther had such a big issue with, in Galatians 2 verse 16. Let me just check. Yes, you can see we've got new slides as well. "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." And this is something we can relate with. This sometimes in our lives, you know, we will miss the mark, we will sin. Who sins in church? Only me? Okay. I'm not a sinner. I just miss the mark sometimes. That's putting it very nice. But the long and the short is sometimes we do miss it. I think on Friday I went to Marua Mall in the afternoon quickly, and I saw a very expensive car standing there with, and then I walked around, I saw someone has hit this guy on the side real bad. And I thought like, oh, someone probably sinned here now, either by cursing someone or I don't know what happened, but something bad happened there. Now the thing is, when we do stuff like that, when we do miss the mark, and I mean, none of us are perfectly holy in that sense, then on the other side, you know, we want to correct it by trying to be good. I know it by having kids, you know, when they miss the mark and they maybe get some punishment or a rebuke or whatever it might be, you will see sometimes they try to win points afterwards. Who are married? Don't we do it as well? Jefferson says yes. Okay, he knows what he's talking about. Sometimes we say something stupid or we miss the mark in that sense, and then we try to make up for that. But as Christians, as believers, living in the time we're living, you know, when we miss the mark, when we sin, when we get something wrong, we know that there's grace. If we repent, we turn from our sin, you know, God will forgive us. You, as Psalm 103 says, you will remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. But sometimes we do something wrong. Maybe it's 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And then you battle to forgive yourself for what you have done. Sometimes it's tough to forgive other people. What a beautiful testimony Linda has just shared about Hetty Brits and how she really forgave that person, how she started to pray for him. That is tough. I think it's an amazing, powerful testimony. I'm so glad it was shared there. But yes, there's a place to forgive someone for what the person has done to you. But sometimes we do stupid things ourselves and we miss the mark. Okay, and then we battle to forgive ourselves. Then we almost want to say sorry. Who of you have, sorry for asking all the questions, but I also see Jesus asking a lot of questions in Scripture. But who of you have asked God more than once to forgive you for the same thing? You see what I mean? Sometimes we do something stupid. I take the Bible, I throw it, it hits her on the head. Now her dad phones me and he's very angry, which is fair. And I think afterwards, what a stupid thing to throw the Bible at her. Sorry, I'm Afrikaans. That old thing, throw her with the Bible. It's stupid, but throw the Bible at her. But, and now, tonight I go and I say, I'm really sorry for what I've done. Tomorrow morning, I see her in town and she's got such a hoener eier, you know, egg here sitting. And it's because I threw the Bible at her. I think, shock. Sorry, and I repent again. And you do it a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time. You know, most of you have done that before, but we should also learn that God's grace is there for provision. It's like a safety net, not a license to sin, but it's there like a safety net that when we miss the mark, there's grace for that. Okay, so I really want to talk a little bit about this, about the law and works of the law. And obviously Scripture says here, none of us, by doing good, can be saved by our works. Most religions in the world are salvation by works of doing things, trying to get favor, fasting so many times, doing this, doing that, and then at the end getting the naughty badge, saying, yes, you're a good and faithful servant. But in Christianity, it works differently. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ and not just about what we are doing all the time. Obviously, when you repent and you become a new person, you know, there should be fruits of that. There should be good fruits. And obviously, you don't want to be baptized and really start to grow in the Lord and then still get drunk every Friday night or something stupid like that. You know, that's also not in line. Now, if you want to go and study the law a little bit, and I'm not going to talk just about the law today, that is not the thing, but just touch on a few things. I think we can preach a few sermons on the law of Moses and what God gave in the Ten Commandments. But if you go to the book of Galatians, who likes the book of Galatians quite a lot? There's a few of you that really likes it. Now, some of us will love it a lot, depending maybe on your personality or your giftings. And other people will say, no, it's too confrontational. It's too emotional. There's a lot of, it seems like fighting. And Paul is like really kind of shouting here, and there's a bit of issues between Paul and Peter, you know. And no, maybe go to fifth gear, to Ephesians. It's a bit nicer, you know, talking about the church and blah, 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 all those type of things. But a guy like Luther, he said, this is the best book in the Bible. This is my epistle. I'm married to it. You know, he really loved what he saw in the book of Galatians. He really liked what he saw there. And you know what is nice, what I always value about God giving us scripture, is that, you know, if you look at just the confrontation between Paul and Peter there, it's not as if scripture is trying to hide it away and say, okay, well, these two apostles, they kind of had a fight, but let's just don't tell the world there's something bad happened in between us. No, it says, listen, Peter, you were wrong, and Paul, you were right. And it actually gives us an example. Same with King David, you know, in his life. It isn't just God says, yes, he's a man after my own heart. We also see the weaknesses, the bad spots, the times he missed the mark, the times, let's say, he messed up. That is also revealed to us. So if you go and read Romans 7 or Galatians, you know, that the law, that refers to the whole of the law. Now, I just want to ask you another question. You know, there's the Ten Commandments, we all know that, but then there's a lot, chapter 21, chapter 22, chapter 23, about the law that was given. How many instructions, or let's call it small laws, or maybe instructions is a better word, how many things do we see there that people had to keep? Eye for eye, tooth for the tooth. Who if you want to guess? Just be bold. Doesn't matter if you're wrong. How many things in those three chapters were given as part of the law? How many instructions? It wasn't just the Ten Commandments. There was a lot more. Take a guess. 100? Next person? 100. Sorry? 26? Okay, no, Prisco was a bit hotter. It's a bit more. Harry, how much? How much do you think? 300? Harry, you're getting the crown so far. You're the hottest or the warmest in that sense. There were 613 instructions if you wanted to keep the law. Go and study it, go and research it. That's quite a lot. That is why if you want to go back to the law, you should. If you break one thing in the law, then you break all of it. Then you're guilty. So you really had to be, and that's why it says no one could keep the law perfectly. No one could be justified before God by being such a good person and keeping the law perfectly. All of us do have a human nature. Some of us, you lose your temper or whatever, and then you miss the mark. So none of us could keep the law either in that time, or if you wanted to give it a shot these days, I will give you some good free advice. Don't try it. Because the other problem with if you want to go back to being under the law is that dispensation has passed. You know, sometimes you'll hear in church jargon and people talking about, you know, Israelites, people that wants to become like the Jews again. And, you know, if you want to keep the law, the biggest problem you're going to have, that sacrificial system isn't in place anymore. You can't slaughter the perfect lamb and sacrifice it anymore as atonement for sins. It doesn't stand anymore. There was a new lamb that was slain. Okay, so even if you can get perfect on score and keep all 613 commandments every day of your life, even if you miss it once, you know, there's not grace for you. Then you missed it. And then you're under a curse and under sin. Then you have got a problem. So just that was my free advice for the day. In the word in Galatians, we see Paul talking about 32 times he's referring to the law. So we can see this. Galatians only has what, 6 chapters. So you'll see he's really in a big thing talking here about fighting with people about the law and circumcision and all those type of things. So if you look at the law, it was basically what God demanded of people, and it was about human performance, you know. While if we look in the time we're living, it's more about relationship with Jesus Christ. So when we study things from the start of, let's say, the creation, it's just nice to see sometimes things in perspective. We first see God making a covenant with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, you know, where he said, I will bless the nations in you. There's a promise for us. And then 430 years later, we see the covenant year with the nation of Israel, or Israel to be, and with Moses. And there we see another covenant established. And this covenant was, while the first one was a promise, this one was more on obedience. You shall not, you shall not. Okay, all the things, all the rules, how to live, what to do, not to do, those type of things. Then I want to read you another scripture. I'm just going to focus on just a few scriptures just walk us through this. And then I'm going to end off by showing you a video clip that I really feel just sums up exactly what is in my heart today. Galatians 3 verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written on the book of the law and do them. That is just to make it clear. Listen, if you can't keep the law, you're under a curse. You've got a problem, okay? So that's why I'm just saying, don't even think about going back, trying to keep the law, anything like that. Then we also see a bit of, Paul argues that believers are no longer under the law now that Christ has come. And we see that in Galatians 4, verse 4 to 5. But when the fullness of time had come, sounds so beautiful, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoption of as sons. Now, we see, remember Jesus Christ, he also knew exactly what the law was like. He grew up being a young boy, a young man, being under the law, he had to keep the law. And you know what? Different than us, different than Israel, he kept the law perfectly. Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. So we see here, he came to die for us. So that means that that curse was broken. And also where people had to almost try, if they can, earn the favor of God. We see here, Paul is writing and he says, a new season, a new time has come where we can become sons and daughters of God. Okay, that means we can stand in direct relationship with God. This promise of Abraham, that's now fulfilled. That means we are sons and daughters. That is beautiful. That is precious. And also, just as I said, you know, we should be careful to just always say, yeah, the law was a yoke and it was heavy and it was hard and bad maybe. Remember, God gave it at a certain time. As I said, that was for Israel at that stage. It must have meant quite a lot. This God revealing himself, the people saying, don't speak to us directly, God. We can see you are awesome, almost like the fear of God. Rather speak to Moses and Moses can speak to us. We can't face you directly. It must have been, for those people seeing this happening before them, it must have been wonderful. This God has provided for them. He would provide further. He saved them from the yoke of Egypt. They were slaves. He opened the Red Sea. God revealed something. And some commentators differ a little bit on this, but we can also see it was an act of grace. Why God saved the Israelites. He wanted to draw them to himself. It was something they didn't work for. It wasn't something they inherited or something. It was some favor God bestowed on them. Then we also see in Galatians 3 verse 24 to 26. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now the faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. So we see the law was given almost, let's use the words, like a guardian, like almost like a babysitter. You know, when you have kids, you tell your small kids, don't sit with your feet on the couch, or don't do this, don't do that. You're almost giving them a lot of rules. Don't do this, don't hit your brother, don't bite that, don't pull the dog's tail. You know, all those things just to protect them. And Israel, they were in that stage. They were almost at the same place. God had to give them rules that they could know how to live. What can you do? What can't you do? What can you eat? What can't you eat? What can you do on a Sunday? Etc., etc. A lot of information on keeping the commands about circumcision or the Sabbath, food laws. There were quite a lot that was given at that stage. But as we see, it wasn't something forever. It wasn't something that... it was something that was going to pass away as well. Then we see Galatians 3:13. It also says, Christ redeem us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hang on a tree. And this is one of the points I want to make today. many times, you know, yes, you have a relationship with Christ and you go on. It's almost like sometimes you'll see at weddings, people doing the wedding, you know, you will tell, I remember Pastor C.S. LaRue that had married me and my wife. He will tell the people, for the husbands, turn to those of you who are married, turn to your wife and tell her she's beautiful and you love her. You know, it's good to tell your wife that, but you shouldn't just do it once a year or once in 10 years. Sometimes you will see this oomies sitting there, and then, you know, then they will almost have the smile on their faces. But yes, young man, I've told her 20 years ago I love her. You know, that's not good enough. It's something that should be renewed. It's something that should be alive. It's something that should be in our hearts. And with our relationship with Jesus Christ, sometimes we forget where we come from. Sometimes we forget there was a time where you haven't been baptized or you haven't been truly born again. You really haven't come into the kingdom. You were living in sin, all of us. If you have a testimony, you will know what has changed. What has changed in your life? And you know what's the wonderful thing? It's not something you can earn. It's a gift. It's a free gift that God has given all of us. And it's something we should rejoice in. And especially in the Afrikaans service also, I think there was a few words very strongly, and a lot of the music went about, you know, just about God's holiness. And many times we know this in a place of information, somewhere in our intellect. But daily in your relationship with God, daily in your relationship with the Holy Spirit or with Jesus, it's something that must be close to our hearts. Just like telling your wife, I love you, you're beautiful, thank you for the meal, thank you for this or that. You know, in our relationship with Christ, we should also keep that fire. We shouldn't like, yes, sometime, you know, I was really on fire for the Lord, but, you know, now I know everything. And it mustn't stop. There must also come good works, you know, from what you believe in, from having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, as you know, I'm not going to go in the whole message of the cross. I know most of you quite well, and I know we all know Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died and then he rose again, and a lot of things happened around that. In Romans 6 verse 14, we read, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but you are under grace. And then just after that, he goes on and then he says, listen, basically in my words or many people's words, grace isn't the license to sin. Grace is there something, we are not under this law anymore. You are now under a new season, you know. And I once heard the testimony of a man, he told it, and where he, earlier in his life, you know, he shot and killed someone. And that is really, you know, whether you do that or whether you just steal a pencil, if you sin, you sin, and then you're guilty, you missed the mark. But the wonderful thing is, even if you do something like that, you know, you can still be reconciled to God. It's like when my kids are small, or I have small kids, and they disobey, you know, and you have to rebuke them. You know, they still stay my kids. I still love them the same. You know, it's important to check in our hearts, stuff like that. Sometimes, you know, when you're married, you and your wife, you'll have an argument or a difference or whatever it might be, but you still love each other. It's like, no, we just, should the living room look like this or like that? Maybe you have an argument about that, or is it just me and my wife sometimes differing? You see? But you still love each other. And the same with your kids. And the same with God. When you sin, when you do something wrong, you know, God doesn't just chase you away and say, you bad sinner, never speak to me again. Obviously, you need to make things right. You need to repent and say, Lord, I really repent of doing this. I don't want to do it ever again in my life. That's important for us to know that we have this. And even, you know, in the New Testament, we see that Jesus, in the Old Testament times, you know, if you were caught in adultery, then you were wrong. You really had a problem. Then Jesus came and he basically lifted the bar. He said, now it's not about that even. Even just if you lust in your heart after a woman, then you're already guilty. But now there's grace. There's grace for us to get these things right in our lives. Some part that's also precious to me is Ephesians 2 verse 8, where it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. And that was basically what Luther and the Reformation, many of those guys, what they saw, you know. They lived in a time where they really had to, they could almost pay for their sins physically with money, and then it would have been forgiven. But that was wrong. It was unbiblical. And Luther had this massive struggle inside until he really came to the conclusion or the revelation what it meant to be saved by grace through faith. You know, and that changed the whole almost Europe at that stage. It was like a spiritual revolution happening at that stage. And you see, I want to really hold it before us today that we have that relationship with God where we know we can be forgiven for our sins, that we also need to not put ourselves under the law. Many times I think that is almost the bigger problem for us, not forgiving ourselves for what you have told your father, or maybe the way you treated your wife or your boss, or some sin dog there in your pastime. When you think about it, you still shiver. And obviously you should never delight in stuff like that. We should never do that. But you know, just to know that it's erased, it's clean. Okay. I want to show you a video clip and then I want to end off after that by just showing you a few things. It's someone in church has sent it to me, and then I actually just put it there in one of my folders. And then yesterday about 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, I just felt like some of the points I wanted to make today is so beautifully illustrated in that. So why don't you can switch off the lights and then just look at the clip.
You. Look at your eyes. Look at them. Speckled. Colorful. Each one unique. And I created every one of them. I created everything. The universe. And you. I gave you your personality. I made you pure. Complex. And every day, I give you life. I love you. But something happened. You cheated on me. You didn't trust me. You sinned. You cut yourself off from me. And although you're still alive, you were slowly dying. So you looked for other things. To fill the void. But nothing works. It just kills you faster. And it separates us more and more. Searching for. I don't want you to die. I created you not to be destroyed, but to know me. So I became one of you, a fragile creation. I was tempted, but I never sinned. I came to save you. You have so many sins, and they have a cost. Someone has to die, you or me. So I took on your sin. Jesus. not here to condemn you. I came to bring you back to life. Rely on me. I will forgive you and give you eternal life. I love you. And I did all of this to have a relationship with you. Will you follow me?
Can we all stand, please? I think if the Apostle Paul could have watched this clip, he would have been quite impressed, because he had to preach at many places for hours to just make a point here, because there were so many people, they grew up under the law and they felt this is the only way to please God, by keeping the law. And now if you see this, you know, we have this place of grace, we've got this place of relationship with Jesus Christ, and you know, that picture of that glass that is full of black ink, and then it's just reversed, you know, God cleansing us. It's so precious. So I just, as we stand here, and just maybe all of us can just close our eyes for a moment and just to look on your inside. You know, God comes and he makes all things new. Scripture says, Colossians 3 talks about we're a new creation. Paul says we should put on the new self, you know. So I just want to hold it before us this morning. If you, for whatever reasons, if you are trying to earn favor from God, if you try to do it by pleasing God in any sense, and you think, if I'm a good boy, if I'm a good dog in that sense, God will love me more, or maybe he will forgive me for past sins, things that I've got wrong in my past, where I messed up and I sinned and I sinned and I sinned. You know, then just think of that picture where all those plates, all those broken, shattered plates are reversed. They're made whole again, you know. And there's a massive cross that is standing between being under the law and the works of the law, and by standing and on the other side, dispensation of grace where we live. God wants to make us new, where the Father is standing with arms wide open, and he's just inviting us to come to him, to come to relationship with him. You're not just one of the flock in terms of sheep anymore. You have got a name. You can be a son. You can speak to God. Scripture says, my sheep will hear my voice. God wants to speak to us. So if you are standing here this morning and you have that yoke upon yourself by trying to earn points from God, maybe if I'm a good person, maybe if I go to church more, maybe if I read scripture longer, maybe if I'm nice to people, maybe if I give more, then maybe God will love me more. Maybe God will speak to me more. But that's a lie. Even if you never come to church, even if you never give, but you stand in relationship with God, technically, he loves you all the way. Yes, there must be a testimony. Yes, there must be growth. There must be an increase in your faith. The Father wants that. But if you battle with that thing in terms of trying to earn your salvation, trying to work hard, that God will love you more maybe, while all eyes are closed, if you are here this morning and you feel I'm speaking to you, or you feel the Holy Spirit ministering to you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. If it's you this morning, and if this clip, by watching this clip maybe, you feel it really made an impression to you, I want to ask you this morning, don't believe that lie. Don't believe a lie about trying to please God and he will love you more. God already loves you. The Father sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn us, but that we could be saved. That means stand in relationship with Jesus Christ, and in that way be reconciled to the Father. So if you're here this morning and you feel a heaviness on your shoulders, if you feel you could never get free of some stuff, I want to invite you just now to come and stand with me. I would love to pray with you this morning. I would love to just pray a prayer of agreement and saying, Father, we accept grace. We accept your unmerited favor, your unconditional love. If you battle with that this morning, I'm going to ask you to respond. And I just want to pray for us as a church as well. Father, I want to thank you that we can come before you, Lord, and that I know, Father, every broken plate, Lord God, every stained glass of water, that you cleanse us, Father, that you renew us, that you make us perfectly new, Lord. And Father, that you don't just put us on the shelf then, but that you talk to us, that you love us, that, that you yearn for relationship with us, Lord. And sometimes, Father, we put this heavy this heavy yoke over our own shoulders, where we just battle to forgive ourselves. Maybe we've even battled to forgive others. But Father, thank you that we can stand here this morning and say, Father, we don't have to earn your favor by trying to keep those 613 commandments, Lord. Thank you that we are free, Lord. Whether we come, no matter what way we dress, we come to church, whether we jump up and down, raise our hands halfway or all the way, that you love us, Lord. That we are your children, Father. That you paid a price, Lord. That someone had to die, and that someone was you, so that we can live. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are not hanging on that cross anymore, but that you rose from the dead so that we could live, Father. We worship you for that. We thank you for Scripture. We thank you for what you have done, Lord, in our lives, what you have done through us. Thank you for every testimony. Thank you for every salvation. Father, that you died for every one of us, all the billions of people that is living and has lived before. I pray, Lord, as just Auntie Doris has said, Lord, that we will be obedient to the Holy Spirit, that we will stand up and that we will share and preach the gospel, invite people to church, whatever you call for us to do, that we will obey, and that we can be part of what Jesus Christ is doing in this world. That we can see Jesus alive, ministering to his church, leading his church, building his church. Thank you for Scripture. Thank you for interpreting something, the law, that is something that's been passed for so many generations. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you stand here this morning while people are going to leave now, and I really want you to have a wonderful Sunday. If you're here this morning, you feel something about the sermon, something about what was talked about this morning is really on your heart, then I want to invite you to come and stand here next to me as the other people are leaving. I really want to pray with you. Sometimes we think, no, I'll fix it at home. Then it just doesn't happen. I want to invite you. If it's on your heart now and you feel you need prayer, please come and stand here. Amen.